Good evening. Thank you for coming to special board meeting, Rancho Marietta Community Service District. I've got 5 p.m. Amelia, would you do roll call, please?
Director Meady.
Aye.
Director Jaco.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Director Polk.
Here.
Thank you.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda. Can you have a second?
I second it.
That's Director Merchant.
Thank you, sir. Roll call.
Director Meady.
Aye.
Director Jaco.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Polk.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 3, consider whether to propose a supplemental security special tax for approval by the district voters to fund ongoing security services. I don't know if this goes to you, Tom, to Paula. Tom first.
This goes to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to present a PowerPoint going over the areas I covered in the staff memo. But first, I want to see if any of the board members have any questions to any of the specifics outlined in the staff memo I released last week.
Looking up and down the board, does anybody? I do have one, Tom, on option number 2. I see an option 1 where the shortfall is. I see where option 2 has a surplus. Is that a monthly, annual?
That's an annual surplus estimate. Okay. That's just the first year as prescribed with the $26 per month.
I don't think we're ever that accurate, but in government. So, okay, answered my question. It's annually. Thank you. Board members, any questions on staff memo?
I have some, but maybe it's we're going to reserve to after you give us your presentation.
Okay.
I just had it because some of those things are in your last slide.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Same here. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Then why don't you go through the presentation for the board and the crowd, and then we can follow up on the staff memo from there, please.
Okay. And then you all have hard copies of the presentation in case you can't see the screen. I see where you're at on the screen.
Well,
you
did.
And
you can always
look at
my
slide,
too.
All right. So, basically, this is a special board meeting to talk about one item, and it's the proposed security parcel tax to help security meet its needs. So, today's meeting is we're going to go through the PowerPoint. There's really no board action that is required after this. It's having a public meeting to talk about the work that we've done so far and the recommendations that we have on the table, and hopefully at the end of the meeting we can get some direction from the board as to what to do next. And that's the goal with this meeting. The next time you'll talk about this will be July 20th at the regular board meeting, and if you do intend to put a measure on the ballot, that's when you would authorize my staff and myself to move forward with contacting the county registrar of voters. We need to file that document no later than August 1st. Our target would be July 28th. And then the election day is November 8th. In between August 1st and November 8th, a number of activities can take place. And first of all, there can be letters of support and there can be letters of non-support submitted to the county. And then that's a 10-day waiting period. And then there can be rebuttals to those letters. And so if you, last time you voted, you went to the, you got your voter pamphlet, and there was a measure on that for one reason or another, you probably didn't see anything out here in quite some time. But where I'm from, there's always a few measures on the ballot, and the measures start off, shall this happen if you vote yes or no?
Right.
And then you get to read the pros, and you get to read the cons, and then you get to read rebuttals to the pros and rebuttals to the cons. And then sometimes we may decide to put in like factual information, but that's just between now and then we make those decisions. So our reality is that in 1998, given that security couldn't be covered anymore, that the district powers that be put a measure on the ballot that was dubbed Measure J. Measure J passed, I believe, at like 69%, something like that. Pretty good passing. And now, 24 years later, and over the last six in particular, Measure J funding has not kept up with the demands of the Security Department as optimally published when Measure J was first proposed. That would be three employees on full time, two at the gate and one on patrol, 24/7, 365. This year, when we did our budget, we were doing what's called a carryover budget. Just so you know, it's because the rates of fee increases were not approved. And so we go through and Paula has to put together a carryover budget, but in order to meet the needs of water and sewer and solid waste, we're recommending that you allocate property taxes towards making those three budgets whole. Over the past 6 years, the board has chosen to utilize property taxes to make the security budget whole and to make the drainage budget whole. This year with the carryover budget, there's far less money available after you take care of our regulated services that are water, sewer, and solid waste. And if we're not able to meet our needs for water, sewer, and solid waste, we may have to at some point go out and borrow money or try to pass a bond. And currently the district has no outside debt. We have an interfund borrowing that took place that is being paid off $6 per month per household who was here, that were here at the time that that the water plant was built. Yes?
When's that going to be paid off? That's like 27, 29?
I believe it is 27.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. And then as you go through time, I have a slide here that shows the reality of where the revenue, which is the blue line, and the yellow-orange line is it orange on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
And yellow. That's the expenditures. And you'll notice that in 2019-20, there was a sharp increase. And that increase was after the district had commissioned a cost allocation plan that a company who does that for their business came in and determined how much of administrative time is spent on water and sewer and security and drainage and solid waste. And that determined about a third of our time is spent on security, a little bit more than a third is spent on water-related activities, and a little bit less than a third is spent dealing with sewer-related and recycled water activities. And then a tiny bit for drainage and a tiny bit for solid waste. And like I've said before, in a government agency, the administrative function is required to be deployed to the operational budgets. And first and foremost, under Prop 218, the administrative time we spent working with water, working with sewer, has to be attributed to water and sewer. And it can't, we can't spend water money doing sewer things. We have to report, this is what we do working on sewer, this is what we do working on water. And then every year we produce a budget, and that budget is called Prop 218 budget, and that gets produced in March. And then by mid-May, a 45-day time period has passed in which people can protest the increase in the fees. It doesn't happen very often, but it happened this year at Rancho Marietta that the fees were protested. 50% of the voters plus one, or the residents plus one, voted against the fee increase. So that's what's created what we call the carryover budget. But as you can see here, the timeline of security revenue and expenses, the gap is growing, because the revenue is not keeping up with the overall expense of running security.
Next slide.
So I'm not going to talk a lot about it, really at all, about the survey that we did last January, the scientific survey that took us to the next step, which was putting together a more detailed explanation of what a possible measure would look like to fund security through a parcel tax. And so we hired a company called Clifford Moss, and they put together another survey. And I know people really like the surveys, really they don't, but it helps us. And we got a total of 386 responses, 172 online through some sort of survey, Monkey or Google survey, and 214 were mailed to the office. We asked for feedback. The difference between the survey in January and the survey today was the January survey was very scientific. They made sure they had enough homes with two parties represented and age groups and demographics and neighborhoods. All that was figured in as to who they called and how many they got from each kind of demographic. And but this survey was totally whoever got the mail could fill it out. They could go online and fill it out. We sent the mailer to every resident. We put it in our pipeline. We put a link to it in our pipeline. And we had it on our web page. So that's how we ended up with 386 responses. So the goal of the survey recently done was to validate that people's desires are still the same here at Rancho Marietta for security that they were back in January. And a lot has happened between now and then, but what hasn't changed is our people's expectations. And 80% of the respondents said controlling the gates 24/7 year-round is their number one priority. In fact, 82% of the survey respondents said that. Similar to the January survey, deterring crimes, including burglary and theft, was next. And then emergency response 24/7 through patrol was next. And then reducing vandalism, patrolling the open spaces, and bringing the sheriffs out to do extra patrol for us. And we were very successful with that last year. We felt it had an impact to most of the summer weekends. We had one or two sheriff's patrol officers in their squad cars here at Rancho Marietta. And so far this year, that program is not very functional. Last year, when Tina Palamontes was the interim security supervisor, she worked with the sheriff's department. She's passed that on with Kelly. But last year, there were sheriff's officers signing up. This year, they're not. And I don't know if their new contract has been approved or not, or if it goes into effect, but I think that has something to do with it. And it could also be that they're burnt out and they don't want the extra work. Along with the 386 surveys that were returned, 29 of them had positive comments. And they're kind of like, you know, you guys are doing a great job. We want security increased and not decreased. And they're willing to pay more to have more. There were 52 negative comments. Some of them we can't repeat, but other ones is we don't need additional securities or cameras. Be frugal and continue to live with what we have. Be more fiscally responsible with budget instead of always increasing our taxes. And ideally, no additional costs to residents. So those are the comments we got. So the next slide is, this is what we currently have. Running security. We have Kelly Benitez, our security supervisor. We have a vacant sergeant position that is currently frozen in the carryover budget because we just flat out can't afford it. We currently have 4 patrol officers, 2 gate officers, and 2 part-time gate officers. Our total anticipated revenue is $1.916 million. Then our total expenditures, as we have them sitting here today, are $2.317 million, and that's a shortfall of $401,000. So at some point, we will talk about the potential for offsetting that shortfall with remaining property taxes. But that's what you'll see as the carryover budget works its way to you.
Tom, do you want us to ask questions now or wait till you get done?
You're more than welcome to ask questions. That way I can drink some water.
Under revenue categories, the last one, you got $270,810 property tax subsidies.
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Well, because I forgot that line was in there and I just glanced down there. So that's our estimated balance of property taxes, correct, Paula? After you do the carryover budget, right? After the property taxes are allocated to water, sewer, and trash?
I'm trying to see the line you're talking about. Which
it's
one is
it's the bottom one. I guess I'm confused why.
Page 6.
Why we have property tax subsidizing the service. I get it's a carryover. The board's got decisions to make. But so we're anticipating pulling 270 no matter what.
That's going to be our recommendation.
Correct. So what that number is the leftover after all of the other funds have exhausted their portion of the property tax subsidy due to the Prop 218, no rate increase.
So then, would I be correct in saying that you're taking tax subsidies to fund security at this option when those tax subsidies could be moved over to reserve accounts?
Yes.
Sorry. Into reserve accounts?
Yes.
Okay. Continue on.
When you say current services, are we talking this past fiscal year, or are we talking projections? What year is this?
This is for the year we just started.
So this is
22-23.
Thank you.
Want me to move on?
Yes. I'll come back as we move through. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. Based on direction from the board, that became official direction last year when the 21-22 budget was passed, as that budget was developed, we talked about the bringing an end to the utilizing property taxes to help supplement security. That was direction from the board. So this time last year, we initiated the process of moving forward with developing the security poll, the opinion poll, that took place at the start of the year. And it brings us to here today. And so the board asked me to work with our staff and with our consultant to determine how we can meet the needs of security without utilizing property taxes, with the goal of property taxes going towards infrastructure reserve accounts. So out of the opinion poll came a suggestion from our pollster that if we were to put an item on the ballot whereby we would charge $171 a year per parcel, they felt that from his work that would stand a high likelihood of passing. I believe it was 70% his estimate from people who said would definitely vote for it or would likely vote for it. And if you recall, there was definitely, likely, not sure, probably not, definitely not. So those are kind of the five categories. And so he extrapolated and said about $171 a month would probably pass a vote. Of course, everything's changed since then. And so we also came up with an option two, which is to maintain security services. And then option three was to increase security services. And I want to stop for just a second and explain that 2 weeks ago Thursday, so about whatever, 12 days ago, we held a meeting in this room, and I think some of the folks who are there are here tonight. We have a team we have running with the security with this project, and the team consists of Kelly and Paul and myself, directors Butler and Paul, and then a couple community members. And amongst ourselves, we tried to identify what we thought we dubbed community leaders. And whether they have leadership qualities or not, they're in positions of leadership. So RMA members, people who help run the village, people who the Murrieta Village, folks who are working with the gardens, folks that are working the commercial. We actually had three of the realtors here who have a lot to do with what's going on here at Rancho Murrieta. And MTI. Other, pardon me?
MTI.
MTI and other, what we felt like were people who are, and advocates in the community who are making, you know, movers and shakers. And so we had a meeting here. We went through this PowerPoint, almost the same. And out of that, it was a 2-hour and 10-minute meeting. There was a lot of discussion. And I felt like it was very useful. Now, some people walked away feeling I didn't get what I wanted, or some people walked away thinking I don't know what they're doing here. But in general, the participation was excellent. And at the end of the day, we had a hand raising as to what the members of that group would represent if that's what they had to vote on. So the first one, reduced security services, really got hardly anybody raise their hand.
Can you stop for a second?
Sure.
And go back one page for
me? Yes.
Paul, I did some just light, quick math.
Okay.
So if I take out that tax subsidy of 270, add it to the shortfall of 401, that puts me at 670 roughly, is truly what our shortfall is.
That's correct.
So that bottom line underneath total where shortfall is, and my math is $671,815. So that's the gap we're trying to close, correct? Okay, I'm sorry. Tom, continue on.
Okay, so let me walk through what option number one, and we've dubbed that reduce for make it easy to follow. And reduce is, we settled in on $14 a month because it's a round number, or $168 per year per parcel. And our estimate is if that were to take place, we would be able to cover 21 or 15 of the 21 patrol shifts per week. So to operate an individual post, a fixed post, like a patrol or a gate post, you have 21 shifts a week, three a day. So our estimate was that if we staffed 15 of the 21 shifts per week, or in other words, six patrol shifts unfilled, having a sergeant in one patrol position frozen until further notice, and then have gates that are fully staffed with all 21 shifts covered every week. Our estimate that with $168 per year or $14 per month parcel tax, we would take that shortfall from $670,000 to $208,000. And that's the reduce option.
Okay.
Are there any questions what that means?
And I need to make a statement. And I apologize, Kelly, for not doing this up front when we went to this agendized item. To you, to your staff, it's not personal. We're trying to get you the resources. You and I have had those conversations. And we've had the conversations that things are taken personal. To that, please understand, and I'll have the rest of the board members jump in. As speaking solely for myself as a knucklehead board member, my job is to do one thing, get your resources. Your government, that's money. And that's what we're trying to do. So I should have said that up front. So I'm sorry, Tom, continue on.
Tom, there's one thing that keeps it in context as it relates to the property tax allocation. I'm assuming, and we won't know for sure, that we're going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because there has been a shift and there's been houses sold, and every time they sell one, the value of a house goes up, we get more money. It's still a pittance, it's 1%.
Hmm?
So essentially with what Tim's saying is we're all but draining the property tax allocation.
That is correct.
I mean, there's $100,000 left, but so what? And there's more to do with this later on, but I just wanted to get the context of that out.
Thank you. I forgot what that number was. Go ahead, Tom.
And I want to be clear, we're estimating growth. So when we sit down and do the budget, we're estimating that homes are going to be built and bought, you know, and ratepayers are going to move in. And our estimate for the coming fiscal year, which they're not built yet, but maybe towards the end of the year, we're estimating about 50 homes. So as we do forecasting going forward, it's like our budget next year can utilize that 50 homes as income throughout the year.
Right.
And then the following year, we're estimating, I think it's another 50, and then it jumps up to around 100 and 100 as these developments go. But again, we all know it happens when interest rates go up, home sales go down, and stuff like that. So we can't sink our flag on having 50 homes built and billing them anytime soon, because as far as I know, there's like three foundations poured of the current 202 homes that are in the works between Riverview and residences east and north. So as we project revenue, that's, we're considering growth.
So question, Tom. If I compare the expenditures on your options versus the current, they don't match. So this is these expenditures are estimated based on the following fiscal year when the tax would kick in.
Well, here
you're. How do I compare them?
To current.
So this is fiscal year '22, '23 that we're looking at for this current services?
This is estimating. Oh, because it's like 6 months versus a year.
Right.
Yes.
It's slide. It's, I gave you the handout, slide 8.
Yes, it's 6 months versus a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Randy, the 1.9 or the 2.317 in current security services has the poor patrol officers, and it shows a shortfall.
Right.
When we go to option one, we're dealing with just
Actually, no, that's not correct. That is
okay.
The full year.
That is the
full year. I think are you referring to the estimated expenditure number?
Yes.
Yes, the estimated expenditure number is because of the sergeant and patrol position frozen, so that was reduced to the 2.2 million. So that's probably why you see a difference in the estimated expenditure numbers.
But if I go to maintain, shouldn't my expenses currently of 2.3 million equal the estimated expenditures, or is it just an
no, you would see with this, you would see the 2.4 because of the increase in the cost of the salaries and benefits for those two positions being unfrozen and filled.
So it's project. That's
correct.
What
it's
this
a projection.
Is project.
Yes.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Now if we go to option two or maintain. This is our representation, our projection of what the budget would look like with one security supervisor filling the patrol sergeant position, having four patrol officers, two gate officers, and two part-time gate officers. So that's full staffing, and the estimated expenditures is a 2.456. We would have 21 of 21 patrol shifts filled every week. And by the way, patrol also go to the gates to give the gate officers breaks,
right,
and stuff like that. And this includes what it's going to run to have people go through training and training internally, but training new hires as people leave and come, we hire new people.
Tom, does this include overtime to fill the shifts, or is this just to, on paper, it's there versus maternity, COVID, vacation, sick leave?
Yeah, this is, Paula, jump in whenever you want.
Yeah, it does include those factors.
Okay, thank you.
And then, so the maintain is $26 a month or $316 per year, which comes up with this real nominal little surplus at the end of the year. But that's the number that we're producing, and if what you want to do is maintain security service as prescribed, as Measure J came about, that's what you would need to do. And are there any questions there?
This would give us the opportunity to take all of the property tax money and
there would be reserve. There would be no property tax money spent,
right?
And even in reduce, I don't think we're predicting any property tax. Oh yeah, we should have shortfall and reduce,
right?
But it's offset. I mean, instead of 270,000, now you're just 670,000 short. In this case, you'll be, you know, 208,000 short under reduced.
We would be losing people. There's no question about that.
Well,
cutting people, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know if we really have to cut people because we have quite a bit of turnover in the security ranks. A lot less now than there has been in the past. But to reduce from the prescribed three positions.
21.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And then option three is increase. And we wanted to give an increase option because a lot of folks want to have additional coverage. A lot of folks want to have a prescribed amount of sheriff's representation here, particularly during the summer and during the evenings during the summer. That's when we find the sheriff's officers to have a great amount of impact. So in order to come up with the scenario, we said an extra patrol shift per day. So that could be two extra patrol shifts on weekends and one extra patrol shift three other days, or however Kelly feels it's best to allocate his resources to meet the demands of keeping the district as secure as possible. It would also, again, fully staff the gate and also give additional support to the gate during heavy traffic times like at Thanksgiving or early in the morning, maybe allocate patrol help with the gate, because they do that today when they need to. And then two sheriff patrol shifts, so we estimate two 10-hour shifts, 26 weeks a year, or $41,600. So basically, that's 416 shifts at $100 per hour, 416 hours at $100 per hour. That's our estimate that the sheriffs would run.
And yes. I know that price went up July 1. I don't know what the price is.
It had been, I think it had been 75.
So is the 100 the max, or not the max, but what they went to?
The 100 is my guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For lack of anything better, that's my guess.
Can we get them?
As of now, no. They aren't signing up for the shifts.
Right.
Do we... Kelly, are we currently on the list for
No, because you said because of the budget issues this year, we have not requested the sheriffs at all, other
correct.
Than the one day of July 4th.
July 4th.
And we had no response for July 4th.
No response. Okay. So we're not actively we're not actively filling the sheriff's shift.
We would like to have sheriffs and whether or not we can actually get them are two
correct.
Separate things.
True. Okay. So under increase, it's $33 a month for per parcel, or $392 a year. And when all is said and done with revenue and expenditures, there's a slight, just over $1,000 excess. So then I want to, if I can move on, I kind of want to talk about important issues or reminders. Unlike Measure J, which was based upon study that was done prior to the vote, which has variable rates for retail, for off-highway retail, for undeveloped land inside the gates, outside the gates, for storage that has storage units, storage that has flat open storage, homes behind the gates, land behind the gates, homes on the other side of the highway. There's about 30 or 40 different rates applied. The equestrian center has its own rate. The airport has its own rate. That's how Measure J was developed. And that's how things work back in 1997, 98. Today, because of recent court decisions, when you have a tax like this put on the ballot, and if I say something wrong, Dick, please jump right in. When you have a tax measure on the ballot, it has to be parcel-based. And every parcel has to be charged the same. So the 55 acres of Riverview, which has been paying $3,000-$4,000 a month, will pay $33 or $26 or what the other one was, $18. So, and then...
Or zero. The ballot doesn't pass. The measure doesn't pass. There's no cost.
There's no increase.
Correct.
But Measure J is Measure J. It's not going away. It's approved. We're not touching it. So this is entirely complementing Measure J. It's in addition to Measure J. So the residences behind the gates, their security bill were a little more than double this upcoming year. For the folks who live in the village and in the 78, their security bill will go from just shy of $8 to, $41. So they'll have a big increase, or four or five times as much. And then the people who own these big swaths of land where they're paying a lot of money, they're going to end up paying, $33, where now they're paying about $4,000 or $5,000 a month. But that's just how the law has been reworked based upon court cases that change laws, that changed how Prop 218 works. And then with the new partial tax, more services could be available. You could put the tax at whatever level you want it, but under our option three increase, that would increase the coverage. And then it allows the district to direct property tax to reserves, which I need to remind everyone that that's this board's number one priority, is to make the reserve funds healthy and reasonable given where we're at with our infrastructure. And so it could direct property taxes entirely to reserves for water and sewer, possibly drainage. if there are, if there, if we don't find a way to increase contributions for reserves, and our, your latest effort through the fee increases as proposed under the measured Prop 218 budget, both the first one and the second budget, since we are unable to raise any more funds in reserves, you're getting real close to needing to borrow money. Gosh, you're going to find yourself in an emergency and not have money for some of these larger repairs. And another really important fact is that these funds are under measure, we're dubbing Measure X, would be entirely dedicated to security. There's, they could not be spent on anything but security, supporting security, managing security, developing infrastructure to support security, stuff like that. So then, other options. This, it's been discussed by others here, some of them are here, have discussed contracting out security entirely to a private security company. We could, and that gets discussed quite a bit, we could go back to the RMA and ask them to help pay for some of the services, because RMA pays very little for the amount of services that we provide in the function of patrol. And this will take a long time to work out. It usually does, and it has to be, we have to go through the negotiation period and probably couldn't have anything in the works until early next calendar year as we sit down and we try to find other ways to fund security or get additional funds for security. And then I want to talk about, are there any questions? Then I want to talk about the legal framework of how this goes. We end up developing a resolution and the ordinance that are published on today's agenda. And you'll notice there's some blank spots in there for the amount and stuff like that, the amount that we're going to collect, our estimate for what we would collect in revenue total. And it has a ballot question, shall the Community Services District increase the funds for security to provide this, this, and this? You have 75 words to fit within that little box. And then you talk about how it's all going to work and all the provisions and what the ordinance says. And then the board Q&A discussions and staff direction, that's pretty much where we're at. We're here to listen to your direction, to your feedback, to our questions, or your questions will provide feedback. If you decide to put something on the ballot for November 8th, we need to have it approved by the board at a regular meeting. That would be our regular board meeting on the 20th of July. We're asking for comments to the resolution and the ordinance. And then there's the question of citizen oversight committee. So at the community leader meeting that we had, when we got a show of hands about what option those leaders would support, they supported option 3, or increase, by a slight margin, 12 hands to 13 hands. But also there's quite a bit of talk about developing a citizens oversight committee, and which is very common. Most of the measures you see like this are very specific. They're to build new schools, or they're to add 20 police officers and 12 firemen to cities that have been strapped financially over the past many years, and the cities have more and more difficulty collecting revenue or increasing revenue, yet you know their crime's increasing or they're growing exponentially and they can't keep up with growth with just their regular sales tax revenue and stuff like that. So very often as you start adding these special taxes, the citizen oversight committees are created, and they run very much like a board. The couple that I was involved in the former job, about half the times you'd go to the committee that they wouldn't have a quorum, because if it's a 7-person committee, 4 people have to show up. So I don't think that'll be a problem here in Rancho Marietta. I think the involvement of the community is far greater proportionally than anywhere else you go. So I think if you set up a citizens oversight committee, they would get an annual report, they would make recommendations, they would come back to the board or maybe the security committee with their ideas, And then that's what, that's how far as it goes. They make recommendations, and it gets considered by either committee level or the board level. And then the last is what partial tax, you know, would you want to list? So reduce, maintain, increase, or something else. So with that being said, that's my presentation.
Very good. Board members, any questions of the general manager specific to either the memo or the presentation he just made?
With regard to the citizens.
Oh, can you speak into the microphone, Marty? I can't hear you.
With regard to the Citizens Oversight Committee, how is that going to be defined?
It is yet to be defined. We would work it out. We would find you some examples.
And why is it in the law or the ballot measure instead of just a board policy?
Well, because it will help possibly bolster the acceptance of the adding a special tax if people are sure that that's going to be oversight by a special committee.
I think it ought to be a board policy myself, if we do it at all, and I'm not really convinced that we need to do it, especially because I don't know what it means. I have another question, but let's let other people go on.
Go ahead, Dr. Butler.
I just wanted to reiterate the need for us building up reserves. I wish Michael was here, but maybe at the next meeting. Every day, every week, there's something else that falls apart in here. And so it's not a figment of anybody's imagination. It's a reality that our infrastructure is under duress because of age. And we literally, really need to build up those reserves because we have to fix this stuff. So I did want to make a comment about that. I also had a question about for Dick. So now we'll have, given that the fact that we may be able to do this, we would have two measures. What happens to those if we decide we want a different form of security, or if we decide that we want to give this to RMA or work out a program that we would have RMA sharing this? How does that money fund work?
So your hypothetical is the board calls an election, the voters approve a new special tax. You then have the 1998 security tax and the 2022 security tax, and then later the board decides to do something different. You would still be restricted in the use of that special tax revenue. It is special tax revenue
still
to the district solely for security. You would have some options. For example, within that framework, you would perhaps be able to go to contract security services instead of employed security services. You could probably make that kind of shift consistent with the purposes of the tax authorization, but you would still be subject to those restrictions. And if for every reason down the road the district decide we're just going to stop providing security services, then those taxes would need to cease. You couldn't keep collecting a tax for which you're not providing the special service.
So it would not be on their bill anymore, basically.
If the district decided to cease providing the service, then you would cease collecting the tax, yes.
Okay.
Director Janko, any questions?
So in this theoretical, could the tax money be used to, for example, pay a homeowners association to provide security services?
Yes, you could. If a homeowners association was staffed up and had the right personnel and equipment to provide security services consistent with your ordinances, then that could be a contract-based service option.
And the other thing, I read this not too long ago, before 1998, RMA did run the security department. And if I remember correctly, it was that little gray shingle building on the north, and I don't know how much patrol we had or how many gate officers we had at that point, but I lost my train of thought. And so it was RMA that managed all of that, and then it changed. And so now we're thinking maybe it should go back to RMA. So I don't know if that's a, we haven't explored that possibility, but Measure J and Measure X would then be given to them. The money would then be given to them. Is that what you're saying?
Well, would, yes, but through a contractor,
right,
a contract for services
arrangement. We would still be the administrator of collecting the funds, dispersing the funds, accounting for the funds, correct.
Oh, just one more thing. Tom, on just so I'm clear on this, all parcels would be charged the same amount. So a developer has a piece of property that he's planning to build 80 houses on. What does he pay today? $33?
Yes.
And then as the houses get hookups?
Right.
They,
no.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, the trigger would be when that developer records a final subdivision map that creates the parcels.
Right.
And let's take, for example, the X Line Center. One, that is one parcel that would pay one fee?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so, yes.
With the new measure.
Got it.
Tom, there's one thing to understand with that. The back in 97 and 98, when they allocated to the individual entities, a la undeveloped property, it's not a secret that nobody in the community was in love with the pension trust fund, and those fees were dramatically escalated as they relate to, number one, what they get for the service versus what a resident might get, and also as Dick relates it now, they were being billed on a per acre basis versus on a per parcel basis. So at the time there were 772 acres floating around or something, and all of that money got allocated so that when you look at the existing security budget, it's somewhat inflated by the way service is delivered. And I've had this conversation in the Finance Committee for several years because it applies to the country club as well. I mean, they get screwed, as do, this case, the developers. One thing this thing does in this context is it to some degree adjusts that. Okay, because you're going to get that adjustment in the fact that they're going to pay per parcel versus per acre, and it doesn't change what's in J, but it does somewhat bring it together. The other part that's interesting in what Randy mentioned too is the ability of us to collaborate with the RMA to see if there is ultimately some solution to the problem, and I'm very much in favor of that, but one of the things that doesn't do that is I think my overriding concern for going forward. If you take the fully the full funding, okay, we're gonna take C or number three, and we're gonna fully fund that. That brings the CSD overall budget somewhere in the neighborhood of $9 million,
mm-hmm.
And we are at a point where. And I think it's an ongoing conversation about how quickly and how many houses we're going to get that will adjust that. But I think there's a great deal of concern over what that number should be. The other number we're not discussing is after the election where we wind up in mandatory conservation, which lowers our revenue. So let's say that we do real well and we're dividing $9 million by 2,900 ratepayers. And even if we enter into a conversation with the RMA and we're still collecting that money in the form of a tax, and we're still dividing the $9 million by the 2,900 people, okay, we're going to wind up back where we were in this last 218 notice. We are basically being rejected from increases, not on an individual piece-by-piece basis. At least that's what I read and that's what I saw on the internet. Number one, okay, the rates are too high. Rates being the CSD bill. Okay, my bill might be 180 bucks. Matter of fact, it is 180 bucks before I pay my variable rate on water. And then maybe my bill goes up another 110 bucks. Okay, when I get next year's 218 notice and we have the new parcel tax and my security fees have gone up from the mid-30s to the $50 range, okay, I'm in the hole. I'm in the hole being CSD. And what I have to fight for at that point in time, like we tried to do this time, is how do we get the reserve money? And quite frankly, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think we're going to get it. Everything on the internet is, well, I think we should be living with 1% to 2%, or I think we should be living with 4% to 5%, and 7% ought to be adequate for you guys to run the district. Well, it's not. Okay, so we're living with 9 million bucks here. The only way this goes away is if we start running a utility. And if you're a CSD and you're a utility, and there are 3,000 of them in the state of California, there's only one of them doing what we're doing.
Us.
Okay? We're having to go to two different places to get this money, but when you combine all that money together, it's too much money and the people don't want to pay it. So how do we get the reserves up? Now, one way, at least, okay, if we fight our way through this, and we say to ourselves, no matter what happens, we're going to take our property tax allocation and we're going to dedicate it to reserves. In the pure sense, that means we can at least take $800,000. Okay? We're way in the hole beyond that. Okay? But we get 800. Okay? If we don't get the 800 and we don't get the increase on the 218 next year, we ain't got nothing. So there's a lot more at stake here than this isolated security tax, and we need to be able to spin this or reorganize it or take apart the organizational structure here to a point where ultimately, my personal opinion, we're running a utility. Okay? If I have to choose personally, again, between having patrol and taking a shower, I'm taking a shower.
I would appreciate that. Yes. Just on the seating arrangements.
And as long as this configuration remains the same, I'm hoping that we could do this together.
No, John, okay. those are very valid points.
So that's at least in context, and I have a lot of other stuff about how we might wade through this that may not be part of this conversation, but I really, at the end of this, I want to get to it and figure out how we become a utility again. Right. Because when you compare our utility rates, okay, and I took the EID rates and I off of their website.
I know.
Okay, we're extremely competitive until we start lumping on all these other things. These other districts do not collect garbage money. They do not put 550 acre feet of water on a private golf course. Okay, they don't do the things that we do that are all part of the 9 million, and what the residents have said is they don't want to pay any more money. So we need to do something to make sure that we can protect the infrastructure, which is $55 million.
No, it's all correct information. I do have a question, Tom, on staff report. It has annual adjustments and cap.
What page?
I'm on page 4 of the staff.
Thank you very much.
Staff report doesn't have numbers on it.
If I'm not mistaken, the reason we're speaking today is Measure J has a cap, 2%. 2%, 98, everyone thought, man, that's a great deal. If you would have told me 5% last year, I would have said maybe that's a good deal. 5% this year, we would have been in the hole. 5% next year, we're going to be in the hole. So I guess the question I would have is, what was the thought process on staff on why we put a cap on it?
So I looked around a little bit and talked to the folks who were helping us with the tax measure, and they said it's very common to use the consumer price index for Pacific West cities for all urban customers as of February each year. And this last year, it was 8.36%, and that has everything to do with what's going on with fuel and the cost of living, so on and so forth. But they recommended, you know, because that can run away on you. And they recommended that most people end up with, they say, okay, this index, not to exceed 5%. Mm-hmm. And usually it's 3.5%, 4%. So for I had to choose something. So I could either choose to, I could have chose to write down whatever the index is.
Correct.
Or you could choose whatever the index is, not to exceed 5%. Mm-hmm. And that's what I chose. Now, that's just my way of thinking, and you're absolutely able to change that. But from my experience, something like this, you end up with a little bit of sense of control. And also, that's also what you end up with when you have a citizen oversight committee who would annually get a budget report, and in supposedly in January, and their comments, their wishes would come through in time for the budget to start being developed. And that's kind of the thinking around there. You could have no cap, you could lower the cap. But Measure J, again, 2%. The first few years of Measure J, they didn't even raise. They started off, they didn't even collect the full amount that was approved, and they did very little increases. Before too long, they brought it back to where it should have started, and then adding the percentages to catch up. But, you know, those were decisions that we're paying for today.
Oh, yeah.
We have been for the last six or 7 years.
If we're tying it to a CPI, and we know what our costs are, then that's going to tell me what my percentage is of what the rate increase is, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
So the system self-defines what the costs are, if I'm not mistaken. So, like I said, 5% last year seemed reasonable. 5% today, we're underwater. 5% next year, we're underwater. Moving on to option number one that you had, page 8 of
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It says a shortfall of $208,569. In reality, this option one is only saving the district $62,241 from property tax, if my math is correct. Because I just took the 270.
This one doesn't include the property tax subsidy in it. This option does, so that 208,569, mm-hmm. that would be the full amount.
So we've already removed the 270 out.
From option one, yes.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Board members. Thank you, Martin.
With regard to all these options, I see this option 2 and 3 as being way past what True North Survey told us would pass. And I'm really afraid of putting a measure out there that won't pass. Because security needs...
Oh, Marty, will you speak into the mic, please?
Because security needs funds for patrol. And if we go to something that won't pass, security's not going to have any funds for patrol. So that's why I think 2 and 3 are bad options.
Not seeing anything else.
I got one more. And keep this, again, this is more context. If in fact a bond down the road becomes the only option for us raising reserve money, we had a developer go upside down on property taxes. We have had rate refusal. And now we have the opportunity to have a tax refusal. Each one of those things contributes directly to your bond rating. Okay, whether number one, whether you get one, and number two, at what interest rate you get it. El Dorado Irrigation District rates out at big A, little A, I think it's small C, big, good rating. Stipulates in their annual report that they get that because they get constant and consistent support from their ratepayers on rate adjustments and rate increases. We don't have that to sell. So if we're going to put up something that has the potential of failing, and we put it up either because it fails on its own, or we put it up, you know, like, we got to put something up, it does have long-term, it has long-term implications.
That's if the bond passes.
Yeah, well, if the bond passes, if the bond itself doesn't pass, I mean, that's...
Right.
That's when you want to start looking for someplace else to live.
I was just going to make a couple comments about the poll from True North. They offered or suggested it was this might be what it looks like. Three different options, and the middle one was similar to the middle one that we're looking at.
That is correct.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they at that point they were not figuring out the way Measure X is actually going to work. Because they allocated money to or rates to the gardens and the village and several other places at a different level than what is actually required by law nowadays for a new measure. So I don't think we can really look at that suggestion or give me a name for that proposal in reality, because it was not right.
To begin with, when we talked about this whole project, we started talking about amending Measure J, and shortly after we got started, we changed our strategy mm-hmm. because Measure J has a different way of applying the tax.
Right.
So I believe that when True North was talking about their survey, I believe they were talking about the parcel tax being equal per parcel.
Not from that town hall meeting schedule.
The very first meeting we talked about amending Measure J. From thereafter, we talked about it being a parcel tax per parcel the same amount. I recall that. Now, if I'm wrong, I can be wrong.
I was just looking at the slides that presented in town hall.
From the town hall meeting, that mm-hmm. is correct. When we did the town hall meeting, we didn't have as much information as we had a couple weeks later. So we adjusted, and before we did the working groups to help True North develop the survey, we had converted from that discussion in the town hall from being a variable rate to that being the reality that it was a set rate for every parcel.
But their option two and our option two is pretty similar.
Correct, and as True North, as they were doing their work, this is what they do for a living, and they do it in a scientific, statistically valid formats. While they were polling, as they began their polling, they thought, we think there's a middle ground between
right.
our option one and our option two.
Mm-hmm.
And as you recall, our option one, again, this is a long time ago, this is June of last year, our option one, I believe, was $98
mm-hmm.
and yeah. to help supplement or to offset what we're currently using property taxes for. And our option two was kind of a wild guess, was $198, and our option three at that age was $298.
Mm-hmm.
That has since gone, the 98 or the middle ground of 171 has become 168. What we had as maintain is $316, and as we have increased is $392. So as we've gone down this process, we've learned, and we've adapted to what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not seeing or hearing any other board comments, we're going to move on to item four, which is always a favorite here, public comment. Before we do, two items of note. I won't say I was admonished by our legal counsel, but I was. That is, you have 3 minutes. And Mr. Hart, I'll pick on you, and just so I'm absolutely clear. In prior meetings, I would give some folks, because they had so much to say, over 3 minutes. I had some resident read a letter from another resident, and it went on for 8 or 9 minutes. I apologize. You will have 3 minutes to speak. With that said, in that 3 minutes, you can ask questions. It's been stated to me, in prior board meetings, actually the last one and just the security meeting, a resident said, because I did not answer two questions from two residents, that it's an FU to the community. It's not an FU to the community.
in this environment that we are in, unless I know 100% that I'm 100% correct, and I have no reason to think I'm not 100% correct, I will give you an answer. Normally, we could talk through at the security meeting one of the questions, but we're not in that environment. I didn't know the answers 100%, so I've now gotten back to those folks in writing from that standpoint. So if I do not, or no one on the board, answers your questions, it is not an FU to the community. It is, we do not have the exact information because it just doesn't help anybody if we're not 100% accurate. With that said, come on down. Comments from the public. Whoever's first gets a minute and a half. Oh, I'm sorry.
For the record, and talk into the microphone, friends.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Nellie Bloom, and I wanted to thank the whole CSD team for the good work you all have been doing, and I've been in here in real time when staff has been reading some of the social media posts that have been about them, and it's heinous, and it's impossible to build a team and have a functioning commit. I know that, to have a functioning team, and you guys have done it, and I really thank you so much. They're not speaking for the majority of the community, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, and so that's kind of what I want to address today. So I definitely think we should put a special tax on the ballot. I know we have to make that decision really quickly, but I think the reason why we need to is because, well, we need to fund it, but any other option for security is gonna take 12, 24, 36 months. Mm-hmm. And that is not a real well-known fact, that you can't just say, okay, tomorrow we're gonna do this. We have the union we have to renegotiate, we have to figure out if we have the money for it, we have to come up with a plan, and we can't really leave the, in good conscience, can't leave the village or the gardens or the commercial properties out there to figure out their own thing, because that's gonna impact all of us anyway. So I feel like we need to do that, and I feel like we need to spend some time. I am more for option three, but I can say option two if we can get the RMA to kick in for some sheriff patrols, because I think we have to have the sheriff patrols as part of our security. So that's my thinking about it. And there's very little understanding about the idea of the union and making the transition, so we need to spend some time doing some education. I also think I have some feedback on the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee. I really am opposed to that idea. I have some serious reservations because the ratepayers have shouldered the additional expenses of all the staff hours managing the recent CSD rate change protest. That includes verifying all the protest letters, sorting through the many, many duplicates and triplicates, verifying deed information, CSD council costs, in addition to completing the many PRA requests and made by the protest organizers, and the many, many hours CSD staff and the opportunity costs for the CSD director time, unwinding all the misinformation that's out there, you know? And I just think that we can't spend any more time in that area. What I would like to see is more of a communication or education committee instead of an oversight committee. I also have to say that there's no need for an oversight committee because CSD has not done anything wrong. There's no need for oversight for that. We need to be spending more time on community communication because it's all good information on the website, it's all good information in the pipeline, but nobody is reading it because we live in 21st century America. Okay, so we need to spend some time on that.
Amelia,
thanks for all you do.
I've got over 3 minutes.
What about 1:59?
I started late, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
So that was my thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Nellie.
Okay.
Give her a lesson on how to run.
All right.
No, you.
No, me. Thank you so much. And tell us your name.
Hi, I'm Renee Bernardo, Marietta Gardens, right here in this mm-hmm. little community. I just have a quick comment. How fair is this to Marietta Gardens that you want to increase from $8 to $41 per month? we don't need 8 guard officers. We don't need anybody at our gates because we don't have anybody. That we pay the same rate as anybody that lives behind the gate. We're still vetted at the gate. When we're going through the gate, we can't just go through, but we still pay into all of these services. We have security officers that have been contacted for Marriott Gardens for things that are going on there that just don't show up. So to tell our community that we need to increase their funds for more security and to have security come out when we already feel failed by security, I don't know how that's going to go over. And then the other question is, we already had funds put in for cameras for Marietta Gardens, and we've still yet to see them be installed.
You can direct the questions at me, not necessarily at the security staff, and then I will be following up with you. You have more time. So are those your two questions?
Those are just, you know, I just want to know in fairness how it's fair to Marietta Gardens that we can increase our spending to help your 8 gate officers with your 2 part-time gate officers. How is that budgeted to us? That's not fair. Neither is it fair to the villages. They don't have any gate officers for the villages as well. And it's just a question of fairness. How can we go back to our community, our little homes, our 77 homes, and say we need to increase for something that we already pay for, but we haven't really seen come through for us? So that's okay. It's just more of a statement.
I will, if you will leave your name number with Amelia, I will get back to you on this.
Okay.
By the way, I agree. And I think part of the restructuring that needs to happen comes from the fact that you've got crime and you've got vandalism.
Yes.
And all other. And I think as that builds out over there and becomes more fully developed, the requirements of patrol over there are going to be distinctly different than they are inside the gates at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Right.
So that's part of what I hope comes out of this in the end, is that there's some kind of restructuring that might combine the South Highway 50 stuff together and do the gates as a standalone entity.
Our concern too as a community, once Circle K goes up, what do we have then? You know, we are trying to keep our community safe.
Hopefully cheaper gas.
We've escalated from cars being broken into to homes trying to get broken into at the moment. All of our neighbors have put in their own cameras to try to help each other, and that's what we're doing as a community. And, you know, I question the fact that in 1998, how many parcels of land were outside the gates? So that might be fair in 1998 for Measure J, but we're in 2022.
Exactly. I agree.
The only other comment I'll leave you with, ma'am, is if you do have, and your folks do have personal cameras, please register them with the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department. It is critical to do that. It's a great resource. So yes. I will be in touch with you on your two questions.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't want to have a fight at the podium, so let's, you know, come on.
You're on.
Ready to go.
Go.
Bob Brown, lot 188. Just a couple points. First of all, I made this point many times before. Do not divert one more cent from our property taxes from reserves. You have to fund those reserves. By and large, the community has no idea what reserves are, what the funds are meant for, or do they know the state of the infrastructure of this community. Again, you have a fiduciary duty to this community to fund those reserves and make sure our infrastructure stays intact and is maintained. Second point, number 3, can I get the number 3 slide just really quick?
And I'm going to hold you to time that it takes to get the slide up. Yeah.
Right.
And you're burning time.
That's okay.
How'd I do?
No.
No.
He wants option 3.
I'll talk about it. She's putting
number 10.
It up. To me, and in my analysis, number 3 is the only realistic option. And it's the only option where the level of service meets the expectation of the community. We just heard it back here that the level of service right now is not meeting the community, and I get it because we don't have the funds. The number one option, we have an increase, but there's really no increase in service. It's just barely to maintain, and we know after a couple years we're not even going to be able to do that. So number 3 is really the only option. I have a little bit of knowledge in this department. 6 patrol officers, 24/7, 365 operation. that is just barely enough to get the job done. If you have an officer that calls out sick, that calls out, that takes vacation, you have to have reserve officers that can cover those shifts. If you don't staff up to at least six, you're not going to have a 24/7, 365 operation. I'm sorry, you're just not. And the minute you miss a shift, it's going to be blown up all over social media that there's an uncovered shift. What Nelly said, put it on the ballot, communicate. Communicate not only what it means if the community passes, or the ratepayers pass the measure, but communicate the consequences if they don't. Plain and simple. And then let that fall on their shoulders. With option three, RMA compliance and CSD security can maintain a robust program, again, that will meet the service expectation of the community even outside the gates. Giving security to RMA is simply a shell game. All right, we might get the tax from you guys. Same thing. We can't fund it and run and meet the level of the expectation of the community with Measure J taxes. So what does that do to us? Then we're going to have to jack up RMA dues. It's a shell game. That just puts it back on us. Lastly, you're the board members and represent those of us that voted you into office. Push through the social media rhetoric. That rhetoric that questions your motives, do what you guys know is best for the community. We voted you in because we know you will do that, and I'm asking you to do that. Again, if the measure fails, then it goes. It's on the ratepayer's shoulders. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Welcome.
Hi. Karen Taylor, Marietta Gardens. Tagging on to Renee a little bit, I agree wholeheartedly with the cameras issue. Asking us to pay additional property tax, not going to fly over there. We don't get the majority of the services that you're asking for security. If the issue is infrastructure, I'll talk with you all day about that. I will find support for you. But
we're just a hair bit late on that one, ma'am.
Deflecting it through security is not the way to go about it, because we're not benefiting from these services. We're not benefiting from this property tax. And to say that there was a show of hands for number three, it was like 11 to 11, and you omitted that people could vote twice. So that doesn't fly. That's not scientific. You know. So I don't agree with that at all. And I'm waiting to see the district's due diligence in breaking down costs from Measure J, what the salaries are, what are the things needed. All of Measure J pays for all of these bodies. If you need more infrastructure for security, then let's break that out. Let's see that cost. Time and time again, we've talked about private security. Again, due diligence. Where's the breakdown? Where's the cost? Why are we waiting? Why do we need to wait another 2 years? When people bring it up, let's do it. Find out what the costs are. Make some phone calls, just like the rest of us in the community do when we reach out to you. That's it. Have a great night.
Thank you, Karen.
Stop. There's got to be more.
One more. Your name, sir?
My name is Kevin Lewis.
Hi, Kevin.
I live in Marietta Gardens also. I came here to get an education, and I'm getting one. I didn't understand why Marietta Gardens is treated the same as a household in the gated community when it came to a parcel. Every parcel is treated the same. That's the system. I don't agree with it. It's not fair. We don't get the same benefit outside the gate as you do inside the gate when it comes to security. That's basically all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Can you have one more?
Oh, yes, please.
Everybody can come up and talk.
Yes.
Rosalinda Santana, mm-hmm. also Marietta Gardens. I'm going to echo everybody else in our community, but my little statement is this. I think we're getting sucker punched. I don't see security. I don't see the so-called patrol. I've seen them once. Been there almost 2 years. I've seen them once. But the way that we're going to get charged for this, it's just like what Kevin said, is as if we live behind the gates. You know, we feel like we're like the stepchildren. We have to get permission to get over there. We can't go join any concerts or anything like that. But we're part of the, you know, Rancho Marietta community. You know, we got to play fair when it comes to that. So when we're talking about security, this kind of security that you're giving them, the kind of security you need to give us. If we're part of RMA, we better be treated just like the rest of Rancho Marietta. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
No, the night wouldn't be complete. Come on up, Mr. Hart.
Okay, Ted. Tell us your name.
Let me get the mic up so it's
there
always in the way. Ted Hart, 825. Actually, I had a complete different comments for this evening. I'm going to set them aside because we're concentrated on the security only. There are a lot of things that are going on, and I will bring it up at the next board meeting. And as an example, President Biden at a meeting with the unions in Cleveland on July 6th crossed a major line concerning multi-employer pension trust funds. He is bailing out the unions' private trust funds with federal taxpayer dollars. The money comes from the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, the government's pension insurer, which anticipates running out of money by 2026. And we'll get into that later, but I wanted to address, that's just for openers. So there's a lot of stuff going on here in the background. And most people don't know about it. They don't have the information. A lot of reasons, becoming educated in what's going on. But I wanted to talk to one thing concerning what John had to say about bonds. One of the major things that I would refer back to always is this unfunded liability that we have with the union of $4.3 million. And every time I talk about it, I get this response that we just don't need to worry about it, okay? There's no way, my opinion, that you're going to be able to get a bond if you need that for infrastructure with a liability of $4.3 million sitting there. Now, you can check the legality of all of this, but it's just common sense. You're out trying to sell bonds. The first question is, what's this liability? So I will reserve the rest of my comments for the July 20th meeting to get back to this issue of what's happening with Biden bailing out the private securities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Before somebody else comes up, Paula.
Yes.
We're current on our CalPERS payments, correct?
Yes, we just made them today.
Okay. So the only time we would have the liability would be if we had to, quote unquote, cash out.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay, very good. Just point of verification.
And same thing, every district that looks for bond funding has the same issue. I mean, EID has got $230 million in bonds, and I'm sure they got a whale of a liability because they got about, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds more people than we do.
No, I get it. Who's else? Please, somebody. There's got to be.
I'm a little confused. I'm a little confused about the result of item 3 on the agenda. I came here expecting some kind of discussion and decision, but I guess that wasn't waiting for me. So what's the result? So when there's a meeting on the 20th, you're going to continue where you left off, or you haven't?
No, this was a discussion item only.
Yeah, it was an error on the agenda. Just
correct.
And
so then the action item is going to be placed on the 20th, which is our regular board meeting. It has to be done at a regular board meeting.
Okay.
So that's why we had this one today.
It's information.
Okay.
Yep.
So on the 20th, basically, you can
it's an action item.
Continue on where you left off here.
Yeah, there'll be an action item, and the board will take
okay,
action.
Thank you.
Come on, I can't go home this early. Oh, wait, we've got closed session. Never mind.
Oh, no, not going to let that happen.
Hi, you guys. Thanks so much.
What's your name?
I'm Sheila Rowert, Lot 419.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I may be in the minority today, but just inside the gates and here in Rancho Merida since 1999, I'm very happy to see that even with all the different, from different points we come from as a community, we're seeing more involvement. And that's what we as a community service district wants, or a community wants. So that part is great. However, I do not support this going to the ballot, period. With recent conversations that I've heard from being here, and especially with privatization, and with maybe going back to the RMA, this being security doing that, I would like to see that fully vetted. You know, we put a lot of energy into vetting this process to get the right amount onto the ballot, and, you know, where should it be, taking into all these other considerations. Believe me, this boggles my brain. My first meeting here, and my head hurts. So I don't know how you guys do this time and time again.
The question is why, but continue on.
Yes. Yes, question is why, I'm sure. You probably ask that every time. But again, I do not support it going on to the tax, going on to the ballot in November. And I know, for me, it's just a lot of money. And I'd like to see the other ideas vetted. I know you've used this term before. I've heard a few of you use this term before regarding the reserves, of it being kicked down the road, the can being mm-hmm. kicked down the road. Not that I disagree with that. It has been. But I also believe that by not taking the time now with the full community having a heightened interest, not to take those steps to fully vet that process, whether it be coming back to RMA and RMA just doing behind the gates and getting something separate for those folks outside the gates, or privatization, the cost breakdown, someone else here this evening mentioned as well, we need to see those real numbers. We need to see accurate numbers. I have to say, I get very confused tonight because numbers that were in the printout that I printed and reviewed prior to coming, I know more numbers were introduced, and I was trying to do things on the fly. I don't have math skills like you. My husband will vouch for that. He teases that I have Arkansas math, which is pretty correct.
Who does a checkbook?
So anyhow, those are my thoughts, and thank you for listening, and thanks to the community. It's great seeing so many people turn out.
Thank you. Unless there's another board member. Ma'am, need to look up more often.
Hi, Sherry Carrillo, lot 433. I've been in the community for a very long time. I've known a lot of you for a really long time. First of all, I want to say thank you to each and one of you board members that have taken so much heat, and we appreciate you, appreciate your time, your volunteering. But I really wanted to say my support is for option 3. I don't feel like this is why I live in this community. This is why my husband and I live here. We brought up our daughter here. My parents live here. My husband's parents live here. We're here to have a good, secure community, and I think the only option is option 3. I also do agree that you have to ignore the rhetoric and hopefully just push through and go with what we voted for, and that was we voted for you guys. So thank you guys again for all your help.
Thank you, ma'am. Sure. If I can go back to you, ma'am, just for a second.
Sheila,
thank you. The whole vetting process, that probably in normal times could have happened this fiscal cycle. Please understand, I have yesterday's budget and today's economics. We are in the hole. There is no time. Either people are going to decide whether the Gardens agrees, disagrees, the village, people, as a community service district, people are going to decide for us as a board, do they want to fund security or not? And if it's not, then decisions will be made by the board and a certain process will go. Just because we go to funding it doesn't mean the full vetting process can't take place and some type of hybrid system falls into place. We can always go back and if we don't need to bring in the taxes, we don't collect the taxes. This is a very specific germane to security. So I'm just imploring on you folks that we don't have time to run through all the options. Had I had a budget, not I. had you had a budget of the $18 that we attempted to vote on, but we never got to vote on it, increase, we could have had a whole lot of dialogue and got the vetting done this fiscal cycle. There just isn't the time. And so this is the best option. We have heard it at absolute nauseam. No one wants another survey. No one wants to be polled. We've done our due diligence. We are simply, should the board decide, we're going to let you folks decide what you want. We've had community members say, I don't want an ounce dollar more. I've had others say, I want the full item because that's what's best for the community. And to that end, that's just where we're at. I wish we were in a different spot. You didn't quite use all your 3 minutes. Come on back.
Okay. No, my question is, okay, so if it doesn't pass, put it on there. Let's say you put it on there for bid number two.
Sure.
And it doesn't pass. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get the voter support.
Right.
What happens then?
Well, then the board has a very simple decision.
You just cut some services.
Yeah. It has to fall to Measure J finance, and that's where it's at. It's easier than picking Charles Barkley to be on your basketball team, if you've seen the commercial.
So you have to. No,
does that make sense?
Yes. So, in other words, the process of possibly looking at other options for security doesn't jive with this.
No.
It would, we talked about this earlier, about could we just apply those funds that, if it were to be approved, whatever we choose as a community to provide our services.
But no, and so you're asking a lot of questions there. This is purely for security.
Yes.
And it is isolated security. What it does is it frees up property tax that prior boards, instead of putting into reserves, were willing to subsidize taxes. So all we're looking for is the community to fund or not fund the taxes, and then the board has decisions to make. Okay, please, somebody else.
I have one last question.
Of course, come on up.
Will you give me the exact amount that we are paying for water, sewer, etc.? I think it's $41, but I don't know. Do you know what that is?
I can tell you what I pay.
I don't know if I can give your specific one.
I don't know.
Are you looking for what the increases were going to be for this fiscal year? That was the $41.45 that did not go through.
What's that?
Come on up to the microphone. I'm still going to charge you 3 minutes, Mr. Hart. I have no choice. Legal counsel's here.
Yeah, I had time left over.
Well, I'm not adding it on, so it's still 3 minutes.
Yeah. So all I was trying to do was to say for the ratepayer, if whatever we pass for security, that adds to whatever the cost is on the other side for a total. So what's the total going to be? I realize the security is an unknown, but the other's not an unknown, is it?
I'm a little lost.
Well, the rate's
the same.
It's the same, Ted, because right now it's frozen.
Right. Yeah. So the only increase would be whatever option the board chooses to move it forward. Understand the rate that the board wanted, the rate increase the board wanted was, and forget my math, was like 48% less than what our maximum Prop 218 requirement is to ask for as high as it possibly could go. The board was never going to ask that. The board had a budget 48% less. It was like $18 or $21 a month increase. Mm-hmm. But we weren't allowed to get to that. That was item 12 on the agenda, if you remember. The petitioners wanted 11 taken care of. We couldn't get to 12. We never had a budget presented by the board to vote on. So I don't know the question on whatever you're paying today, or I mean yesterday, is what you're paying today. If it's $33, then it's $33. There is no tax increase.
But we're all paying the same. Is that correct or incorrect?
Is it
$33? All I'm trying to do is to say, in making a selection for one, two, or three in security, the people are going to look at this and say, how much is the total amount going to come out of my pocket.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
that's
so that's
what we're
all
telling
I'm looking for.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's all.
So, okay.
Yeah.
When you look at, yeah, I mean, if you looked at the average bill, which at this point has not changed for this new fiscal year, and you add in, number one, the cost of the additional security if it passes, and you add in the tack on in January for the waste collection, for the food waste collection, then that's exactly where you go. And all of those, if you pull out your last bill, and every one of those is fixed until you get to the variable rate for water. So if you get the lower size can, you got one cost, but whatever's on your bill, you can look at that and you can just add on your variable water costs, and you can add on the garbage in January, but no, right? Garbage. I mean, I don't think there are any other charges. That's it.
And I understand that. I was trying to put it back to you to throw a number out there. I understand how to add it up, okay? But in all of this discussion tonight, of course, it all has to do with security, as it should. But you have the other number that people are looking at.
It hasn't changed.
Well, that was my point changed. Initially. You got to divide up $9 million.
There you are. That okay. was coming back to you.
And somewhere between 2,800 people and 2,900 people.
I got lost on that. Please. Don't tell me you're leaving. Tell me you're coming this way.
Coming this way.
Oh, good. Okay.
Hi. I'm Rob Wells, Murrieta Gardens. And what we're facing here is like a 400% increase in security fees in just the gardens from, what, 746 to 40-something.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of increase with no tangible increase in services is ridiculous. And so something needs to be addressed in that respect. You know, whether it's, I don't know, that can be discussed at a later time. But there has to be some tangible increase in services to the gardens for a 400% increase in fees. Second, I've got to agree with the gentleman back here about reserves being funded. Absolutely must be funded, because Richmond area is going to face a significant emergency in the near future that we won't have money for.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to find it. We've got to fund that.
Well, we attempted. We understand.
You
we're
know,
with you.
You know, I fully agree with the gentleman back there. So, thank you.
So let me ask you this, and it's absolute shame on me. Will somebody from the gardens contact Amelia with the contact number? And we're going to have a little sit down and have some conversation, and I'll bring in some staff, and we can push through some things. Parcel tax, that part I can't help you on how it's prorated or not prorated. That's coming from the Capitol Mall.
I understand that
right.
aspect.
But yeah. What is tangible, I understand, sir.
And that give can take a variety of forms.
Absolutely.
There's some have to have, some have
to. I understand. No, you're absolutely right.
Tim, if I may.
What do we need to pass this? Is it two-thirds?
It's two-thirds.
Yeah. Okay, so you got, and I haven't looked in a while, but we got 4,500 voters, okay? And this is, I'm not advocating anything. I'm just giving you the math. You got a guaranteed 100% no vote in the village, and you got a guaranteed 100% no vote in Murrieta Gardens. Okay, times two. It's an election. It's not an RMA. It's not one vote, one lot, one vote, one ratepayer. It's whoever shows up,
whoever
and two-thirds of that wins.
Right.
Okay, so you're 4,400. Somebody can do the two-thirds of that and tell me what that number is. But you got 540 no's. Your ball's on the one-yard line when you start. Okay? So, again, I'm happy to vote for the increase, but I just want to fully understand the implications of what we do and where we put it, because I'm concerned about a no vote. The other hypothetical I want to ask, and this is one that Tim just mentioned, and I was going to ask Richard, less so in the gardens, you got brand new infrastructure. Okay, that doesn't mean all of it, but at least what's under the ground that goes to your house is relatively new. Okay, Richards was built in 1973, okay? And we know there's a problem. We don't know exactly what it is because we don't even know where all the pipes go because we don't have any maps, okay? So we're going to spend a lot of money to figure out where the pipes go, and then we're going to spend a lot of money to fix them. And it becomes the guns and butter thing if you ever took economics. You're telling me, no, I won't vote for that because I don't get the services. Well, if you don't get the services and you don't have to pay the security tax, are you going to pay the reserves? That's what I want to know before I decide what I'm going to do.
You're spot on. Spot on, John. Okay. Going once. Seriously, we can't stop here. Going twice. Going twice. I don't see anybody. There's nobody else. This is the last.
I just have to give one more perspective because there's a lot of people here from the gardens outside the gates. I get that. Okay. I get that, that it's a big increase from you. And again, option number three, looking at that and why that's the only option is because the only option that's going to meet the level of service that's expected outside the gates. Again, we're spending our money inside the gates on the controlled access point, right? We have a controlled access point to the community. So when we're staffing up on option three to patrol, all the development that's going on around you, the commercial development, the calls for service, the amount of patrol that it's going to take to service that area outside the gates is significantly more than what it's going to take inside the gates. If I lived outside the gates, it would be a no-brainer for me, option number three, because you know what my next option is? Sac Sheriff's Department that's 45 minutes away for anything. So if you stay at the level that you're at or any of these other options, I hate to say it, but you're on your own until the Sheriff's Department comes out. You're not going to have, you just said right now, there's no, exactly. So if we don't staff up, option three is the one that's going to staff up and you guys are going to get a better level of service. That's, I mean, if you look at the options, that's what's going to give you. You can say, I'm not going to argue. I'm just telling the board that they can vote it down. But if they vote it down, again, that's going to be on them. And their level of service is going to go from minimal to none, where, as I see, it would be raised exponentially if we went with number three.
Understand.
That's my perspective.
Thank you.
Dick, could I ask one more question? If believe me, I completely get how we raise a tax. What authority we have ultimately if we wanted it to lower a tax? Can five of us lower a tax?
Yes, there would be with this proposed tax. There would be an annual exercise with the fiscal year that you would.
So it's a CPI. But if we wanted to massage it and adjust it and do things with it, three out of five votes could make
right.
That
be, it'd be a very similar process to what you go through currently for the 2%. You automatically have in
right,
recent
but
years.
But otherwise, we would
but
have
you,
to
you
have discussion.
Every year you have the choice. You could right. decide, oh, instead of 2%, we're going to do 1.5% increase this
okay.
year. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to end public comment. Moving on to item number five, director comments, suggestions. Martin Pohl.
Yeah, I had one request. I looked at these numbers for the expenditures and the revenue for each of these options, and I'm having a hard time understanding where all these numbers come from. I would request that you give us a tally of what all these expenses and revenue are, and with a lot more detail.
So are you looking for something, Martin, that comes out of a line item, say the budget, that's assigned?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Then
I think it's not understandable to me right now.
Okay, then what I would say, Paula, is we just simply pull the security budget with all the line items, and then either we match it to what the staff report is, or we just send the line item budget, because that would then address all those from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Because if I understand what you're saying, Martin, I'll pick on where to go.
Any one of them.
No, it's not where I saw it. Yeah, what you're asking for is going to be a line item issue. I don't have my example of what I was going to demonstrate. So, Paula, if you would send that to five board members. And I would think maybe sooner than later, that way it gets timed, and then what I would say, Martin, is follow up with either Paula or Tom specifically, but you're looking for a line item of what security and all the break, training costs, onboarding costs, all those things.
Got it.
Understand. It pains me to say this, Director Merchant.
No.
Short comments, suggestions?
Just one sentence. Whatever we put on the ballot needs to win.
Yeah.
I understand. Director Butler.
I don't really have anything to add. I do always make this comment. Security has a lot of responsibility, and a great deal of what happens behind the gates is residents. And adding more patrol, I don't know if that's really going to fix the problem of speeding. I don't know if it's going to fix the problem of people not stopping at stop signs. I don't know if it's going to fix the problem of 14-year-olds driving golf carts or 9-year-olds or whatever. Some of that has got to come from working together with RMA. There are some things that could be done to slow down speeders and to change some of the things that are happening behind the gate. So as much as we would love to have additional security, additional gate officers, people to fill in, there is some responsibility behind the gates in particular, and from the residents to live by the CCNRs. That's my take.
Thank you. Director Janko.
Well, I'm just listening to all the comments. I don't think there's any question. I'm not hearing anybody say that we shouldn't put this on the ballot and that we shouldn't take this to the taxpayers to decide what it is they want and what they want to pay for it. So to me, our discussion on the 20th is probably going to come down to which option, and I'm not settled on one. I hear the and respect the people that want the full service plus, and I also hear Martin say there's no sense in putting anything on the ballot if it's not going to pass. So I think that's where our discussion is going to be, and that's where I'm going to put my thoughts in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you. Couple of items. One, Kelly, the professionalism that you brought, thank you.
Thank you.
Again, tell your staff it's not personal. Have them continue to do the work. Have them continue to do the due diligence. Folks in the gardens, hearing what you've had to say, I am going to follow up. Perception's reality, so I understand that. But there's more going on than what there is. We have cameras. The camera we have up, it was a fight to get it up because some residents didn't want it on the main street, and it's been very successful with our security supervisor solving crimes because the license plate reader. So we were going to have a huge staff comprehensive camera policy, but believe it or not, some things have gone sideways in our budget process, so that's pushed back. We do have a camera proposal moving forward probably in the next couple of months, and it definitely, I'm sorry? Correct. So again, it's now putting it together. I don't have the staff to put it together because we're just not going to put it up at one intersection and at another. And so I get the frustration. I hear it. Perception's reality. What we understand it to be is not what you folks are understanding it to be. So as the board president, I accept that responsibility, and we shall be meeting and following up with that. So Kelly, tell staff, thank you. Paula, thank you. Tom, Amelia, thank you as always. I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Butler. Let me catch up now. Roll call vote. Director Beatty?
Aye.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
And Director Paul?
Aye.
And for a point of order for folks, and legal counsel can definitely jump in. We're going into closed session. When we come out of closed session, the board president will report out. If you want to stay, I would question your sanity, but please understand it will be in the official minutes of if there was action taken, it need to be reported out, or no action was taken, it'll be officially documented. So if you don't want to stay, I will leave it to you for that. So thank you. Can we do a, what do they call it, a bio break before we go into closed session?
Thank you everyone for coming.
Yes.
Appreciate it very
much. Great. I don't know.
We're all set.
That translates to public accounting.
It's 8:03 in the PM. We've returned from item 7, closed session. There was a discussion, no decision made. That'll close out the July 11th special board meeting, Rancho Marietta Community Service District. Thank you. Thank you, Paula.